VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today for our News Roundup broadcast. So many stories, issues that are taking place. Some of them, we are grateful for some change that takes place. By and large, though, we're very concerned about the direction our nation is going and the matters that are unfolding before us. The morals of this nation are very much in a free fall, it appears, and we see much that is taking place with corruption, a deception. Evil abounds, without question. And so we will just be reporting a number of stories and matters that are going on here today. But friends, don't keep your eyes on who occupies the White House. Keep your eyes on the Lord through all of these circumstances, knowing He's in control. He's the one who sets up and takes down, and what He has before ordained will come to pass. And we can trust that. So let's begin with a number of stories here today on the program. First of all, from the National Review, the House Oversight Committee sent a letter to the National Archives and Records Administration Tuesday requesting unrestricted special access to records related to then Vice President Biden's foreign travel with his family on Air Force Two and Marine Two. Lawmakers point to his misuse of the aircraft as yet another way that he has abused his various offices of public trust and wasted taxpayer money to benefit his family's enterprise that consisted of nothing more than access to Joe Biden himself. Committee is concerned about then Vice President Biden's role in his family's foreign business ventures and that he may have used his office to enrich his family, said committee chair James Comer. Lawmakers gave the agency a deadline of September 13th to submit various documents. From Just the News, trio of leading House Republican investigators demanded Monday that Attorney General Merrick Garland provide them with records related to the appointment of Special Counsel David Weiss, declaring the Justice Department had provided Hunter Biden with special privileges to help him avoid more serious punishment for tax and other crimes. Also from Just the News, the National Archives and Records Administration acknowledged possessing potentially up to 5,400 emails connected to then-Vice President Joe Biden's pseudonym accounts that he used to forward government information and discuss business with his son Hunter and others. And on Monday, the Southeastern Legal Foundation filed a lawsuit to compel the agency to turn over these emails. The nonprofit constitutional legal group that filed the lawsuit said the archives confirmed that Biden used the pseudonyms of Robin Ware, Robert L. Peters, and J.R.B. Ware during his time in the Obama administration. Matter of fact, one released talked about writing his son Hunter and signing a dad with one of these pseudonyms. The National Pulse reports that Robert Malley, Joe Biden's Iran envoy, who served as the lead negotiator in Barack Obama's nuclear deal with the Islamic Republic, has had his security clearance revoked for allegedly mishandling classified documents, according to State Department leaks. A memo obtained by Iran's Tehran Times indicates that Malley was stripped of his top-secret security clearance and ordered to turn in his diplomatic passport and government credentials, and his continued national security eligibility was not clearly consistent with the interests of our national security. From the Western Journal, the UK Daily Mail reports that Hunter and his wife Melissa Cohen just moved into a three-bed, three-bath 1950s Malibu home with a stunning panoramic sea view perched on a hill in a gated community. It's the same one who, just a few months ago, claimed he had no money. That's when he appeared in court in May during the case to elicit child support payments from him for the child that he and his father spent 4 years refusing to acknowledge. From Todd Starnes in a Sunday Post on Truth Social, Donald Trump called on House Republicans to commence an impeachment inquiry, accusing President Joe Biden of engaging in corrupt activities. Let's go to LifeSiteNews.com. We learned there that former President Trump is the only man who can save the Western world. Who said that? That was in an interview with Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. He told that to Tucker Carlson. He said, call back Trump. That's the only way. Call back Trump, Orban said. He acknowledged there are many reasons to criticize Trump. He affirmed that the former U.S. president had the best foreign policy of the recent several decades. He did not initiate any new war. He treated nicely the North Koreans and Russia, even the Chinese. He delivered a policy which was the best one for the Middle East, the Abraham Accords. So that was a very good foreign policy. Trump is criticized, though, because he's not educated enough to understand the world. But that is not the case, Orban told Carlson. Facts count, and the foreign policy was the best one for the world in the last several decades I have seen. And if it would have been the president at the moment when the Russian invasion started, no, it would not be possible to do that by the Russians. So Trump is a man, he said, who can save the Western world, probably the human beings in the world as well. Well, my trust is in Jesus. He's the one who sets up and takes down. But those are comments coming from Viktor Orban. Let's go to the Western Journal. Former President Trump announced Monday that he will be appealing a decision by a D.C. federal court to set the date of his capital incursion trial to begin for March the 4th. That would be just one day before Super Tuesday. 15 states are voted to vote that day, including California and Texas. It's the most important voting date of the primary election season in terms of the number of delegates that are up for grabs. And from Just the News, former President Trump pleaded not guilty yesterday to 13 felony charges related to his alleged attempt to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia, and he waived his right to appeal in court in Fulton County next week. So there was a potential for televised court hearings taking place. He's going to be avoiding that next week. From ABC News, Harrison Floyd, the only one of the 19 defendants in the Fulton County DA Fannie Willis election interference case to be held overnight after surrendering to authorities last week, is now released from Fulton County Jail, according to an inmate database. Placed into custody last Thursday after surrendering for processing without a pre-negotiated bond agreement, Floyd spent 6 days at the facility before posting bail and being released on Wednesday. Western Journal also reporting just today that a Barack Obama-appointed judge swiftly dismissed a lawsuit from a group arguing that the former president should not be able to appear on the Florida primary ballot because of the events of January 6, 2021, trying to deny President Trump access to the ballot. According to the Palm Beach Post, Judge Robin Rosenberg did not rule on whether the 14th Amendment could apply to Trump's 2024 candidacy. Instead, he ruled that the plaintiffs and lacked the standing to bring the challenge, the outlet had reported. The Daily Caller, disbarred attorney Michael Avenatti lost an appeal to overturn his sentence for extorting athletic giant Nike, according to Wednesday's court filing. Avenatti rose to prominence for criticizing former President Trump and representing adult film actress Stormy Daniels in her defamation lawsuit against Trump. The Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Manhattan denied his appeal in a 3-0 decision, with the former lawyer potentially facing 19 years in prison and a scheduled release date for January of 2036. That's according to Reuters. Evidently, the former lawyer represented Los Angeles youth sports coach Gary Franklin used a quid pro quo to solicit a bribe from Nike with the intent to defraud Franklin of the high honest services owed to him by his attorney, according to the Wednesday filing. And from townhall.com, the Center for Countering Digital Hate, the CCDH, is in the crosshairs of the House Judiciary Committee and Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government after reportedly working with the Biden administration to censor political and other speech online. Can you believe that such a thing would happen? CCDH describes itself as an international organization disrupting the production and spread of hate and misinformation. The Committee on the Judiciary is conducting oversight of how and to what extent the executive branch is coerced and colluded with companies and other intermediaries to censor speech. To this end, the committee asked the Center for Countering Digital Hate to produce communications with the executive branch related to the moderation of content online. Taking a look at Hawaii here from Hot Air, Maui County filed a lawsuit last Thursday against Hawaiian Electric Company, claiming they'd started the cataclysmic fire through negligence. There has been videos of lines on the ground, fires in the area near them, but Hawaiian Electric said it wasn't us. Dropped a bombshell about the power running through the lines. The local utility known as HECO, HECO, stated a fire that started early in the morning of August 8th was caused by its power lines that fell in high winds, but that blaze was declared extinguished by firefighters before they left the scene at 2 p.m. Workers then arrived to make repairs that afternoon, saw no smoke, no embers. Utility company said its power lines had been shut off for more than 6 hours before its workers who were in the area to make repairs saw a new fire shortly before 3 p.m. called 911 to report it. The company says electricity had never been turned back on. A lot of things, questions surrounding this area. Matter of fact, WND.com is reporting about this, it's being called the Biden Curtain. New videos from Lahaina, Maui reveal miles of black curtains erected to prevent people from seeing what's happening at the origin site of this month's catastrophic wildfires in Hawaii. Jeff Cygnus, a citizen journalist on TikTok, posted the video with the caption reading, "Miles and miles of black fencing being put up in Lahaina. Ground zero is now behind the Biden curtain." Evidently, the media has not been able to gain access in certain regards, and even stopped a vehicle to grab some photos, was told to move on by the National Guard. And a lot of questions continue to mount as to why evacuation routes were blocked. Also, the lack of access to water at a time of great need as well. So lots to unfold from there. Center Square is reporting that the governor said in an update on social media that the urban search and rescue team was dismissed, but 538 Federal Emergency Management Agency personnel remain on the island. Some 115 people killed, others still missing. Survivors who lost their home are housed in other places, including 19 hotels that currently have 5,456 people displaced by the fire. Another 1,100 are in vacation homes. FEMA has approved some 4,232 applications for assistance, the governor has said. From Just the News, Hurricane Idalia's path of destruction through four different states has left at least three people dead and has caused up to $20 billion in estimated damage. The storm, which first hit Florida's northern Gulf Coast Wednesday as a Category 3 hurricane, traveled through Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina before entering over the Atlantic Ocean on Thursday. Friends, we'd like to encourage you to be in prayer for those who have been impacted through these tragedies, whether it be on the Hawaiian fires, whether it be that of the hurricane, and other tragedies that have impacted others as well. When we come back from the break, we're going to be hearing a statement from Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis as it relates to a warning to looters about don't loot, we shoot. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president, author, and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the ark big enough to carry all the animals that needed to be on board?
Most assuredly it was, Chris. The ark was even bigger than it needed to be. Carefully estimating how many different kinds of animals there were before the flood and the average size, we see that the ark was more than sufficient for the task. In fact, it probably could have carried many more animals. I suspect that it also could have carried many more humans, too. But they had all rejected God's offer to repent and get on board. They died in the flood, but there was room on board. Chris, we don't know all the details about the flood, but those that we do know fit very nicely into the Back to Genesis truth of creation and the flood.
If you'd like to go back to Genesis, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America and the News Roundup Day here today on the broadcast with the hurricane making its way through several southeastern states. We have a warning that came out from Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis issuing that warning to looters who might be targeting areas hit by Hurricane Idalia. You loot, we shoot. Here's a statement from what he had to say as he was in a press conference.
All of our personnel at the state level, you know, you protect people's property, and we are not going to tolerate any looting in the aftermath of a natural disaster. I mean, it's just ridiculous that you would try to do something like that on the heels of an almost Category 4 hurricane hitting this community. I'd also just remind potential looters that people, you never know what you're walking into. People have a right to defend their property. This part of Florida, got a lot of advocates and some proponents of the Second Amendment, and I've seen signs in different people's yards in the past after these disasters, and I would say it's probably here. You loot, we shoot. You never know what's behind that door. If you go break into somebody's house and you're trying to loot, these are people that are going to be able to defend themselves and their families. So I would not do it. We are going to hold you accountable from a law enforcement perspective at a minimum, and it could even be worse than that, depending on what's behind that door. So let's all band together and lift people up and not try to take advantage of a difficult situation.
Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis. From CNN Politics, Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, mayor of Miami, of course, announced Tuesday that he is ending his campaign for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. He said, "While I've decided to suspend my campaign for president, my commitment to making this a better nation for every American remains." He failed to meet the requirements to be in the last debate. The No Labels third party announced Sunday that it plans to hold a nominating convention in April for the 2024 presidential election, reports the Washington Examiner. Former Senator Joe Lieberman, he's the founding chair of the centrist group, said on Fox News Sunday that the group is looking to select its nominee for 2024 in Dallas, Texas, in April of 24. Senator Joe Manchin is speculated to be the group's candidate. From Red State, the 168 members of the Republican National Committee met in Milwaukee last week, and one item the group adopted was a strongly worded resolution urging a return to excellence in American voting and elections, called for an increased election security and fully automated, auditable voting methods. A big difference there, auditable voting methods. They have 11 whereas statements outlining their concerns, and then they also moved on to the resolve section, which I'll share with you. Resolved, the Republican National Committee boldly opposes means of voting that do not have the proper safeguards in place and are exclusively electronic, and calls on every county and state in the nation to use as the default ballot systems, which are fully auditable, namely hard-marked voter-verified paper ballots to ensure every voter is memorialized by a paper record. Resolved that the RNC stands firmly behind voter identification laws and calls on state legislatures to pass laws to ensure every voter is verified to be the actual voter, regardless of method in which they vote at the time of voting, casting, or delivering a ballot. And resolved, the RNC hereby opposes any and all efforts for states to unreasonably expand time periods for earlier vote by mail that makes ballot counting procedures intentionally unmanageable or incapable to complete expeditiously and following the conclusion of election on election day. So, a powerful return to excellence in American voting resolution being demanded by the RNC. From the Federalist, the Biden administration announced, last Friday, its plans to use U.S. taxpayer dollars to register newly naturalized citizens to vote, making the latest attempt to use federal bureaucracies to interfere in American elections. In its memo, the U.S. Citizens and Immigration Services, it's an agency within the Department of Homeland Security, announced it had updated its policy manual to include provisions directing agency employees to increase awareness and expand access to voter registration during naturalization ceremonies in which eligible immigrants officially become U.S. citizens. They are directed to provide newly ordained citizens access to voter registration services at these ceremonies and additional information regarding points of contact for voting and voter registration. From Just the News, Michigan authorities suspected there was a possible voter registration fraud scheme occurring across multiple states during the 2020 election and were concerned enough to bring in the FBI. That's according to police memos received by Just the News. But what happened since remains mostly a mystery. According to dozens of pages of police reports from the Muskegon Police Department and Michigan State Patrol, a firm called GBI Strategies was under scrutiny as an organization central to alleged voter registration fraud in the 2020 presidential election, which was first investigated by city and state authorities before the FBI took over. Contracts between local law enforcement and the FBI continued into 2022, but no evidence of what happened after that. Police from Michigan interviewed GBI Strategy employees. One state police memo described the possible crime being investigated as election fraud by forgery. Earlier this month, Danny Wimmer, press secretary for the state attorney general, told Just the News that among 8,000 to 10,000 voter registration forms that were submitted to the Muskegon clerk before the 2020 general election, some suspected to be fraudulent. Well, the stories are troubling as to what is happening at our nation's borders today as to the number of illegal aliens that are making its way through. The border report, nearly 1.6 million gotaways have entered the U.S. since January of 2021. Among the more than 8.6 million people who've illegally entered the U.S. since President Joe Biden took office, at least 1.6 million are gotaways. Okay? That being reported by the Center Square. PJ Media tells us the Biden administration would like to bury 7,000, this fact. Of 7,000 illegal aliens reportedly entering the U.S. on a daily basis. On a daily basis. That's reported on X, formerly known as Twitter. A Western Journal is reporting, according to New York Post, coyotes or human traffickers are adopting extreme tactics such as wearing body armor, even opening fire at U.S. border agents in their bid to evade law enforcement. Now, all of those things are troubling in themselves. And so when this was taken to the White House and gone to the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, she claimed yesterday at a press briefing that President Biden has done more to secure the U.S. border than anybody else. Here she is from the White House.
The charge from the Congresswoman that the White House hasn't taken up recommendations from fellow Democrats on how to deal with this issue more through executive action or otherwise because of concerns of how Republicans might react, you would say what?
I would say this. The president has done more to secure the border and to deal with this issue of immigration than anybody else. He really has. June saw the single largest month-to-month drop in unlawful border crossing because of the policies this president put in place. We've got a record number of federal agents and officers, more than 24,000, working to secure the border because of the funding this president secured. We brought 21 world leaders on the West Coast, as you all remember, together for the first time to deal with this issue in a regional way because of the alliances that this president has put forth. And we secured record funding for border security and management. And let's not forget, we've expanded the pathway to citizenship under this president. And mind you, he's been doing this on his own. Does he want to do it in a bipartisan way? Absolutely. That's why he put forth his first piece of legislation to be on immigration, to fix this broken system. We are willing to work with Congress, with Republicans. We need Republicans to do this. We just do. But they keep turning into a political.
Friends, I don't know if it's just me, but are you kind of dizzy right now, too, from all the spin that we just heard in that comment there? President Joe Biden has done more in securing this border and controlling this matter of illegal immigration than anybody else. Wow. Let's move on to another issue, and this coming from Worthy News. Shares in major COVID-19 vaccine makers briefly spiked Monday after President Biden confirmed that he would seek funding from Congress to support the development of new COVID-19 jabs. President indicated he might request a universal vaccination that would include both those who have been previously been vaccinated and those who have not. Folks, hang on to your hats on that one. Lord willing, this coming Tuesday, we have Twyla Brace scheduled with us from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom to delve more into that and some other issues, too. For instance, the CDC, their website appeared to have quietly stopped collecting COVID-19 vaccine adverse events on the federal agency's VSafe website earlier this summer. When you go there, it says this. Now, I was on there myself. It says, thank you for your participation. Data collection for COVID-19 vaccines concluded June 30th, 2023. That's what the VSafe website reads. Then they direct people over to the FDA instead and to their VAERS website. Also coming to us from Western Journal, the FAA is currently investigating almost 5,000 pilots who pose what it terms potential risk to the flying public. A report from the Washington Post to the FAA's Office of Aerospace Medicine budgeted $3.6 million last year for the investigation. The Post reports that the pilots in question are veterans who are collecting money for conditions that might make them unfit for flying, while reporting to the FAA that they are in fine shape for the task. Office of Veterans Affairs first stumbled upon the issue more than 2 years ago. About 600 of the pilots involved fly for passenger airlines, the Post reported. According to the report, about 60 pilots have been grounded as a result of the FAA investigators. From Todd Starnes, there's been a stunning development in a years-long lawsuit between Calvary Chapel in San Jose and Santa Clara County. The church is facing more than $1.2 million in fines for violating the China virus restrictions. Pastor Mike McClure says they recently discovered that the county had been secretly spying on church members, alleging they conducted unconstitutional surveillance and tracked its members on church property using their cell phones. This operation took place over a year with seemingly no oversight, boundaries, or limitations, meaning the defendants could track churchgoers in the sanctuary, the prayer room, the bathroom, the complaint says. Advocates for Faith and Freedom filed a federal lawsuit against the government for its gross violation of rights against the California Christians. The Daily Caller reporting that the Taiwan Defense Ministry announced Saturday that Chinese military aircraft and vessels are heading for the islands days after a $500 million arms deal was approved between the U.S. and Taiwan. The U.S. approved some $500 million in equipment for F-16 fighter jet search and tracking capabilities to improve Taiwan's ability to meet current and future threats. From hot air, there's been a strategic battle taking place in the South China Sea this year between China and the Philippines. China has laid claim to most of the South China Sea and over the past decade have been using a strategy called the Cabbage Strategy to gradually claim individual islands. It involves surrounding islands with Chinese boats like the leaves of a cabbage. It starts with fishing vessels. They anchor around the island, and then it keeps other vessels from coming in. The Coast Guard then sets in as well, surrounding the fishing boats, and formally prevent other boats from coming close. Having established control, the fishing boats go away, sends in construction equipment to then begin militarizing the island. I've got more stories to share. We'll do that after the break. A news roundup day here on Crosstalk. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman? Maybe in the airport, on a bus, or in your neighborhood store, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I know I should say something, but where do I begin? The Straight Way of Grace Ministry has a small tract booklet that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. A 24-page booklet that seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, revealing convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God, clearly presenting the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ alone. It's called The Straight Way to Eternal Life. One copy is available for a donation of $2, 5 copies for $9, or 10 copies for a donation of $12. Call 1-800-729-9829.
It's a News Roundup Day here on Crosstalk. We thank you for tuning in to our broadcast today and just covering a lot of various issues. We're just talking about China, some of the tactics that they are utilizing to claim more territory in the South China Sea. And then Hot Air is also reporting that China's trying to lay claim to more territory and publish an annual map that now includes a region controlled by India as being part of China as well. The Daily Caller reporting the Chinese parent company of Goshen Inc., which intends to build 2 electric battery plants in the state of Michigan, employs 923 Chinese Communist Party members, including its CEO. That's according to its 2022 ESG report. The Fremont, California-based Goshen, wholly owned and controlled by Goshen High Tech Power Energy Company, seeks to invest $2.4 billion to construct 2 half a million square foot production plants for electric vehicle batteries in Big Rapids, Michigan, Fox News has reported. And the Biden administration announcing it's sending another significant new equipment package to Ukraine. We understand it's going to include artillery ammunition, mine clearing equipment, javelin and other anti-armor systems, and rockets, over 3 million rounds of small arms ammunition as well. Another scare with Mitch McConnell this week. BBC News reporting that Mitch McConnell is now medically clear to work, says a doctor. That's a day after lawmakers suddenly appeared. He appeared unable to speak for the second time this summer. Brian Monahan, the attending physician of the Congress, said he had consulted with McConnell and his neurology team about the matter. Wednesday, Mr. McConnell froze up for more than 30 seconds when asked if he would run for re-election. As you recall, he had a similar lapse that took place in July. From Western Journal, Steve Scalise, the number 2 ranking House Republican, said Tuesday that he's been diagnosed with a form of blood cancer known as multiple myeloma and is undergoing treatment. He'll continue to serve in the House. He described the cancer as very treatable, said it was detected early. Washington Examiner reporting that the Biden administration announced it wiped out $72 million of student loan debt from 2,300 student borrowers, despite the Supreme Court decision. Department of Education released a statement Wednesday saying the students who attended Ashford University had been acquired by the University of Arizona would receive student loan relief due to educational misrepresentations made to students between 2009 and 2020. From Front Page Mag, folks, an amazing story here. New York City Mayor Eric Adams and New York City Police Department Commissioner Edward Caban announced a new NYPD initiative to support and facilitate the Islamic call to public prayer at regularly prescribed times every Friday and during Ramadan, saying, quote, "For too long, there has been a feeling that our communities were not allowing to amplify their calls to prayer," said Mayor Adams. "Today, we're cutting red tape and saying clearly that mosques and houses of worship are free to amplify their call to prayer on Fridays and during Ramadan without a permit necessary. We want our brothers and sisters of Muslim faith to know that they are free to live their faith in New York City, because under the law, we will all be treated equally. Our administration is proud to finally get this done." This is unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable. On the very grounds of 9/11, where those who adhere to the Islamic faith brought down the towers, thousands of lives lost. And here we are saying that just paving the way to amplify the call to prayer, calling out to Allah as being the one true God, but is not a false God. But as you recall, Minneapolis was the first city, and Usama Daktok said there are going to be other cities, and sure enough, now New York City is doing that as well. Lord willing, on 9/11, we'll be joined by former Muslim Shahram Haidian here on Crosstalk. The Daily Caller reporting that Congressman Matt Gaetz sent a letter Wednesday to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting And also to NPR, the letter asked about the use of taxpayer funds to play Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan speeches during a weekly show on an affiliate station, WEAA, plays the speeches that include anti-Semitic comments. By the way, WEAA received over $250,000 in funding in 2021 from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, funded by Congress. No, it's not. It's funded by your tax dollars. The Daily Signal reporting a Colorado Springs school has reversed course after booting a 12-year-old boy off campus for refusing to remove a patch on his backpack depicting the patriotic Don't Tread on Me. That's the Gadsden flag. According to video footage, administrators at the Vanguard Secondary School told a 7th grader named Jaden that he could not step on campus while wearing the backpack with a patriotic patch. Staff at the charter school reportedly argued that the banner featuring a rattlesnake and the words Don't Tread on Me is associated with slavery and the slave trade. But it's not, folks. It goes back to the Revolutionary War and our opposition to Britain. Vanguard School of Directors called an emergency meeting, and you see they had a secret recording going on of what the student was told. Well, the school board called an emergency meeting saying, "We have proudly supported our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and ordered liberty that all Americans have enjoyed for almost 250 years while they reversed the decision. And now we understand that students around the school are putting that Gadsden flag on their lockers all over the school." Just the News reports in a coalition of 1,609 scientists from around the world have signed a declaration saying there is no climate emergency and that they strongly oppose the harmful and unrealistic net zero CO2 policy being pushed across the globe. The declaration does not deny the harmful effect of greenhouse gases, but instead challenges the hysteria brought about by the narrative of imminent doom. It's put together by the Global Climate Intelligence Group, urging that climate science should be less political while climate policies should be more scientific. Let's see. Let's just get a couple more. Yeah. Okay. So it was gas stoves, water heaters. Now the Biden administration is coming after ceiling fans, reports Breitbart. Its quest for becoming energy efficient. The Department of Energy released new guidelines for ceiling fans, which the agency says will save households $39 over the lifespan of each ceiling fan in their home. Now, ceiling fans, don't they last, for the most part, at least 20 years or more? And you're going to save $39 over that 20-year span, but it's going to cost manufacturers $86.6 million a year? And it's going to cost the consumers $10 more than traditional models to buy this thing? So how much money will they really save? It's going to be cents. Just a few coins a year. Western Journal reporting, for those of you listening in the Phoenix, Arizona area, General Motors closing its IT Innovation Center in Chandler, Arizona, cutting some 940 jobs. The closing came as a major shock, ChandlerNews.com reported. It will be closing on October 31. Troubling news from the Christian Post, at least 3,600 individuals between the ages of 12 and 18 underwent body disfiguring gender transition surgeries across the U.S. between 2016 and 2020. That's according to data released this month in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Of those, 87.4% of 12 to 18-year-olds who underwent gender transition procedures had breast or chest surgeries performed on them. Overall, the total number of gender transition surgeries tripled from 2016 to 2019 before slightly decreasing in 2020. And that's when all these surgeries were canceled due to COVID protocols and restrictions and so forth. Daily Signal reporting California Attorney General Rob Bronta filed a lawsuit Monday against the Chino Valley Unified School District. For what do they do? They approved a policy that required school officials to inform parents if their child wants to change their gender. The District Board of Education approved that policy in July. In addition to informing parents about name and pronoun changes, the policy required that the school inform them if their child is accessing sex-segregated school programs and activities or using bathrooms that don't match their biological sex. The lawsuit, however, claims that the district singled out transgender and gender nonconforming students through the policy's discrimination treatment. School passed a policy. We're just going to inform the parents. And so the attorney general from the state of California filing an action against the lawsuit to keep parents in the dark on this issue. Amazing. Now, you contrast that with what's going on in another location in California from LifeSiteNews.com, where a California mom obtained a $100,000 settlement against the school district for socially transitioning her daughter without her knowledge or consent, albeit with the without the district admitting fault. This is Jessica Conan, her 12-year-old daughter was coaxed by teachers into believing she was not a girl but rather a transgender boy, and so with the support of administrators, changed her name and her pronouns. Unbelievable was going on, but just awarded $100,000 for what they put her daughter through. And just over half of men who identify as transgender women who are imprisoned in Wisconsin, from townhall.com, have committed at least one count of sexual assault, according to documents obtained by the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project. Friends, I've got more stories to share, but I'd like to open the phone lines today to give you an opportunity to comment on these or other current event issues. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your comment on these or other current event stories, pick up your phone, give us a call. National Review reporting Republican Governor Jim Pillen of Nebraska signed an executive order Wednesday enshrining sex-based definitions of what is man, woman, boy, girl, father, mother, now state law. He said it's common sense that men do not belong in women's only sports, or spaces, rather, he said in a statement. As governor, it's my duty to protect our kids and women's athletics, which means providing single-sex spaces for women's sports, bathrooms, and changing rooms. Hats off to the governor of Nebraska. And also from Just the News, the Texas Supreme Court is allowing the state law banning gender transition treatments for minors to go into effect today, setting Texas up to become the most populous state with restrictions on this type of medical treatment. Okay, friends, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Coleman, South Dakota. We have Grant calling. Hi, Grant, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Brad. Are you talking to me?
Brad, yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yep. Say, I'm calling from Moody County, South Dakota. In March of 2022, the commissioners passed the law going into effect July 26th of 2023 with restrictions on the zoning of the CO2 pipeline that is going through. And it's called Navigator Heartland Greenways permit application, has not been approved yet. And September 6th at the Capitol and Pier, the Public Utilities Committee is meeting in room 414 at 9:30. And so far, okay, their permit is going through Minnehaha, which has the most productive, highest-yielding cropland in South Dakota, and then Minnehaha County, which is the fastest-growing county in the state of South Dakota, which is Sioux Falls and the surrounding area. And there's both of them have restrictions on this pipeline, and there's a meeting September 6th.
Okay, that's a public utility commission. That's in Pierre.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And you want their telephone number?
Quickly, go ahead.
Yep, 605-773-3201.
773-3201.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much for the call.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Saudi Arabia was just added to the BRICS banking system. That was the announcement last week from the BRICS banking system summit in South Africa. Not only did they announce they're adding Saudi Arabia, but they're going to add Egypt and Argentina and Iran. What is the BRICS banking system? Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Something we've been talking about for probably 10 years and warning folks that they're waging war on the American dollar. As we know, August 15th, 1971, Nixon closed the gold window, and then he negotiated with Saudi Arabia. We'd protect them if they would trade oil on the world market using the U.S. dollar. So what backs the dollar? The fact that the world wants it to trade with oil. What happens when these countries now stop buying oil with the U.S. dollar? It's de-dollarization. Oh, I think this is lining up for some Bible prophecy. I'm Brennan House.
It's a news roundup day. If you want to comment on any of the stories we shared earlier or comment on an issue of current public news, public events, pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. I should say a current issue. Let's go next to Cookeville, Tennessee. And Larry, you're on the air.
Yes. I was talking about the people having the little children, you know, having the gender change.
Yeah.
And the big, broadest claim was the American Medical Association, approved of it. And I was scrolling, and I seen another AMC,
AMA.
And that's America Motorcycle Association. I say I'd rather somebody from the Motorcycle Association talk to my child about sex change than the American Medical Association. Mm-hmm. All I got to say, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, surely, indeed. Let's go next to Mark, Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, my comment is this. I think J6 has become so diabolical, it should by now be actually referred as J666. My point is this, is the potential of a deep state clash with the U.S. constitutional republic loyalists, in my opinion, seems almost inevitable, maybe even to the point of a potential civil war with Garland, Ray, Smith, and Willis. In my opinion, they have so overstepped the our judicial system that we are just at the edge of total anarchy.
We are. I mean, when we are forsaking our constitutional document and going our own way, when we ignore the separation of powers, we ignore constitutional law, we are heading down that pathway of anarchy. And unless the stop is put to that, our destiny is not looking very good as a nation.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jim, and you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, you have a democracy or a republic. Well, we have a republic as long as we can keep it. Remember those words? We'll go next to Bob in Frankfort, Kentucky. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Bob. I just wanted to say I appreciate your invoking Jesus. I think that's good on your program. But the sources of these news organizations that you cite is just horrendous. Western Journal, Daily Caller, these are discredited, far, far right news organizations who, if you went back 6 months ago, they were saying that Dominion voting machines stole the election. And now I hear you just rattle off story after story citing these just reputable news organizations. You should be ashamed of yourself for that.
Well, I'm not ashamed about sharing truthful facts with you here, Bob, because there is much that is taking place that the far-left media will never report, and certainly discredits these. When you go to some of the political, so-called political check things, it is just appalling as to the lies, the twist, the distortion that is going on by these leftist organizations. So, no, I'm not ashamed of myself. I believe these are stories that are very credible, and we have seen the efforts from the Biden administration to stop stories like these from getting out on the internet.
If you don't even hear these stories on Fox News, if you do any research at all, you would find that the news organizations that you're quoting are ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous. And your viewers should know that they're being deceived into listening to some of the most bizarre QAnon-based type organizations on the planet.
Okay, well, you're certainly welcome to your opinion. I highly disagree with you here. But I think you need to do some fact-checking yourself here, Bob, and looking what is the truth that's going on out there. We've covered a number of different topics, a number of different stories here today. And I guess, you know, I quoted also from the BBC, and I quoted from Breitbart and others as well. And I know, and LifeSiteNews.com, and I know you wouldn't agree with those as well, but I'm thankful you're listening. Thank you so much. Dallas, Texas, we have Jim calling. Jim, you're on the air.
Hello. Y'all talked about earlier, there was a news story about something to the effect of if the child wants to have a sex change operation, the school must inform their parents about it. And I just wanted to say it's a sad situation when the parents themselves, don't you think the parents themselves would know something was wrong or know something about that? Not. It just seems like the parents have had the child up until that time should know better and not to be informed by the school district. I'm not being critical of the school district, but
well,
parents ought to know that by then.
Well,
that's all.
Yeah, thank you for your comment there. What's happening in so many cases is that there are changes that a child is making at school, changing pronouns at school but not at home, changing going into the girls' restroom, about like a male going into girls' restroom at school and the school not sharing that information with the parents, going to counselors at the school, talking about transitioning and not informing parents about that. And when a parent inquires, the school will not say a word concerning it. And have been in some cases where a school has just passed a law saying or a policy that we will inform parents. Now we have the Attorney General of California going against the school saying you cannot share this information. Something's wrong there, Jim.
There's something wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
Part of it's parenting. Part of it's the whole issue itself.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know. It's just kind of crazy.
It is crazy.
You know.
But thanks for raising the issue. I do appreciate it.
Okay.
Let's go to Sun City, Arizona. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi. How you doing, Jim?
Fine.
A couple of things real quick here. I wanted to congratulate the governor of Nebraska with the bill that he has supported, keeping things as they should be, male-male, female-female. Also, one other thing, every time I hear this, I have to think to myself, with this gender nonsense, if you take a elephant's trunk and put it on my cat, does that make it an elephant?
Hmm.
And that's all I wanted to say about that.
Yeah, thank you. And Alice in Fort Smith, Arkansas, you've got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
I would like to say, America needs a revival. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm so thankful for the News Roundup. I trust it. It's the one I trust. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice, for the call. And with that call, we are out of time here today on the broadcast. We do thank you for tuning in. And the matter of news is critically important. There is a lot of fake news out there, but you know what? It's the conservative viewpoint and the conservative news that's being stifled. By the way, it's Friday today. The Lord's Day is coming, and I encourage you to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church this coming Lord's Day. God bless you, folks. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.